Proverbs chapter number 31. Proverbs and chapter number 31. And thank you for affording me a few extra minutes to do something a little bit different this morning. I may have never done that before, maybe when it first came, but it will help. And so thank you for affording me some time. And I will do my best to talk fast and get through this lesson if the Lord will allow. But I'm so glad you're here, and I'm looking forward together to our time in God's Word. And I want to express my gratitude to you for being faithful. If we had the 10 or 12 couples in here that are in Starting Point, we'd have a good day today, and I'm thankful for that. And folks that are here for the first time, thank you for coming and being with us. And those that are visiting back, we don't take it for granted. We're appreciative, and thank you for being with us together today. We're in a series entitled Marriage Myths, Exposing Common Misconceptions About Marriage from the Word of God. We have taken the week out last week, of course, with our guest, Brother Holsey. Then the week before that was Missions Conference, and so we had a lesson on that, and Brother Bundy here from Brazil. And then our class open house on the 19th, we did the relationship myth regarding our relationship with the Lord. And so we've been out of the series for a couple weeks, but I'm glad to be back in it. And today we're going to talk about the parenting myth. What is the parenting myth? The parenting myth is raising children will automatically draw us closer together as a couple. That's not necessarily true. Now, if it's done right, it will. But I think we all know that parenting can be a real challenge. A young man agreed to babysit one night so that a single mother could get out of the house and just enjoy some time with some other ladies and some fellowship and so forth. And so at bedtime, he set all the youngsters upstairs to bed, and then he was going to kind of settle in downstairs and maybe watch a little football. One of the children kept creeping down the stairs, and the young man kept sending him back up to bed and telling him that's where he needed to be. Well, at 9 o'clock, the doorbell rang, and it was the next-door neighbor, Mrs. Brown. And she asked whether or not her son was there at the house. And the young man, sure that he had everything under control, said abruptly, "No, of course not." Just then, a little head appeared over the banister and shouted, "Mom, I'm here, but he won't let me leave." And he mistakenly had one of the neighbor kids there with him. You know, sometimes as we parent, we think we've got it all under control and everything is just as we believe it to be. But in reality, it's not. And we need the Lord's help when it comes to parenting. And by the way, children are the heritage of the Lord. We're going to learn that in this lesson. And they are God's gift to a couple. But they are not in and of themselves a solution to a relationship that is not being lived according to the principles of God. There's something about the heart of a leader. As I scan the room this morning, in my heart there's joy over answered prayer of people that are here. In my heart there's a burden for people that I spoke with yesterday, eyeball to eyeball, that shook my hand and said, "Brother Rule, I will be there." And they're not here. And there's a burden there. Why? Because the relationship is hurting. And it's hurting because God's not in it where He should be. The Bible says in Colossians 1:18 that He might have the preeminence. You know where God should be on my list? Number one.
Amen.
And whatever is in His way, quite frankly, according to the Word of God, is idolatry. Nothing should keep me from a relationship with my God. And it's my God who told me in Hebrews 10:25 not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. In my opinion, nothing should keep me from the house of God. It should take an awful lot to keep me from not being here in church and in class. And if we're going to have a relationship that is strong, it needs to be according to God's design. And we need to recognize that, yes, children are a blessing to the Lord, but that blessing doesn't necessarily carry over into marriage if the marriage isn't structured and being operated according to the will of the Lord. So what does the Bible say about it? And the Bible has a lot to say about it. But let's look at Proverbs 31 and verse number 10. The Bible says, "Who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth forth, bringeth her food from afar. Verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtually, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And there's a great picture of a wife and a mom and a home who's excelling according to God's plan, and a husband and a children who are singing her praises. And children are God's blessing to our home, but how we govern the home is really what determines as to whether or not it blesses the home in its entirety. And children are a gift from God, but it works best when they're added to a home who is already built on God's foundation. And our relationship is a bit skewed from what God had planned, and then we add children to it, we may think in our mind, oh, this is going to be blessed. Oh, this is going to be wonderful. When in reality, the exact opposite may happen. It just may magnify the problems because the foundation is not right. And I believe every one of us in here who are parents this morning, or maybe are preparing for that chapter soon in your life, if the Lord allows, desire our children to have the best home they can have. One of the dads I was speaking with yesterday in his driveway was telling me about his rough upbringing, didn't know his own father very well. His mother was a prostitute and a drug addict. And through tears, he said, this is not the life I want my children to know. And I said, I agree, which is all the more reason why you need to be in church, because you're not going to change that on your own. The arm of flesh will fail me. I'm not going to be the husband that I should be, or the father that I should be, just because that's what I want to do, or because I work hard, or get up a little earlier than the next guy, or read another book the other guy hasn't read. And those are all good things to do, and we should strive to do them. But that alone is not enough. What I must have is a relationship with Jesus Christ. I must have a relationship with God, and I must govern my life and my home according to the principles of the Word of God. And that's what we need if our homes are going to be strong and be the environments that our children so desperately need. So how can we create this? Well, number one, we need to understand God's perspective. We need to understand God's perspective. And of course, the Lord has a perspective on this because He designed it. What you and I are doing in the sense of marriage and home and such, it's not something we're creating. God originated this. This is all God's plan. And I'm amazed sometimes at families who are striving to do the best they can in all these areas. They've never even consulted God or His Word. And God created you. God instituted the home. God created marriage. God gave you children. It would do all of us well to consult the Word of God and His plan for our home. So what is there to understand? First of all, letter A loving marriage is intended for a lifetime. A loving marriage is intended for a lifetime. The Bible says in Matthew 19, and He answered and said unto them, have you not read that He which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. I love the quote by Dennis Rainey, your marriage must be built to outlast your kids. I was having dinner this week with a pastor, and he said, Brother Rule, pray for my parents. They're thinking about divorce. And I said, Brother, how long have they been married? He said, 35 years. What a tragedy. How do God's people, after decades of marriage, decide, let's throw in the towel, it's not worth it? And sometimes it's because the relationship was built, let's stay together for the kids. Let's create the right home for the kids. And as soon as the kids are gone, there's nothing there. And marriages should be built to outlast the children. I know I've said it in here before, but my dad always told us four kids growing up, I can always have more children. I can only have one wife, you know. And it was my dad's way of just kind of reminding us where we were on the totem pole. You know, we were not as important as mom. And he wanted to be sure we knew that. And that's a good principle, by the way. And thank God for children. And I'm certainly not demeaning their value or their role in our home. But when it comes to the relationship between husband and wife, that is of higher priority than your relationship with your children. Well, I don't know about that. When you don't have a strong marriage, then what are we giving our children? Well, they have a nice bed and they eat three square nutritious meals a day and they're in the finest of schools and they have this and they have that. And that's great that they have all those materialistic things. But I want to tell you something that's going to pale in comparison to a strong marriage of mom and dad. There is just a security in the heart of a child that is at peace when they know mom and dad are okay. Mom and dad are in love. Mom and dad love one another. I mean, we come around the corner and we catch them kissing. I mean, man, they like each other. That's the kind of stuff that our homes should be characterized by. A mom and a dad who's committed one to another, that knows marriage is intended for life. And I just implore you this morning, a part of our His Design Couples class, that may you and I have the perspective that God has. Our marriage is permanent, till death do us part. That's a vow we made to one another and to God at the marriage altar. And it's something that should be at peace in our hearts. Never in our relationship should we consider, well, maybe this isn't going to work. We should have thought about that before we said, I do. We're in. Quitting is not an option. Divorce is not an option. Giving up is not an option. We just have to work through. And by the way, we can work through. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He that is in me is greater than he is in the world. We have hope because we have God. We have hope because we have His Word. We can get through because God can help us get through. And I don't know maybe specifically everything you're facing this morning, but I know with God's help, you can make it. You can make it. We've got to have His perspective. It's permanent. Letter B. His perspective that children are a precious gift from a gracious God. The Bible says in Psalms 127, little children are heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of His womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Some of you are still working on that. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Children are a precious gift from a gracious God. Now, every one of us that are moms and dads have had seasons in our lives and parenting where we had to be reminded of that truth, where maybe that particular day or that instance or that circumstance, we were doubting just slightly their value as gifts. But indeed they are. And we are thankful unto the Lord that God has given to you and I children. And consider this, your children are God's gift to you, and your raising, your training of your children is your gift back to the Lord. You are preparing your children for a lifetime relationship with God. The way they respect you and obey you and love you is cultivating a heart that will love God and obey God and follow every impulse of the Holy Spirit. And that's our job. And what a weighty responsibility. I think so many times we look in the eyes and lives of our children and we think, Lord, do not let them turn out like me. You know? And we want them to do so much better and go so much further. And that will come when the perspective is right. These children are gifts from the Lord. Lord, You've been so good to us. Thank You. Well, we're in the month of Thanksgiving here in November. And as we come to that day and this month and throughout the year, just considering God's goodness to us, our children, if God's blessed you with them, they're a gift from the Lord. And we want to be sure we're reminded of that. Then letter C, our purpose is to prepare our children for a God-centered adulthood. Our purpose is to prepare our children for a God-centered adulthood. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. In Ephesians 6:4, and fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In Titus 2 and verse 4, they that may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. We want to rear our children that they relate as they should with their Heavenly Father. Dennis Rainey said the ultimate goal of parenting is to release your child someday to become dependent upon God and interdependent with others. We want to make sure that children have the right relationship with God. Where is that best cultivated? In a home where mom and dad have the right relationship with God. Amen. Where they see it. Where they see you walking with God. Where they see you in the morning on the couch reading the Word of God. Where they see you leading the family to, let's have some prayer. It might be a simple prayer for a meal. Let's pause and just thank God for this nutrition. Well, I prayed for it when we bought it. You know, I've heard so many wonderful things throughout my ministry of creative ways we do things. But just taking some time to pray. Leading the family at night to gather around before the children go to bed and let's read a verse and let's pray. My wife got this book and it's kind of written on a children's level, but it's the prayer of Jabez. And just kind of going through the different requests that he made in that famous prayer. And how it applies to a child's life. And that's what we did last night for our special times. That's what we call our family devotions. And then we had prayer. That doesn't make us a great family. That doesn't make us a great parent or anything of that nature. But there are some things that we have just committed to do. It's not, are we going to do this? This is what we do. This is how our home operates. This is how it governs. This is the schedule and the priorities that we're going to make. And that's important because rearing my children is not about what grades they're going to get and what sports they're going to excel in and how healthy they are and so on. And those are all fine. I don't think they should be illiterate, and I don't think they should be lazy. I think there should be a balance in all those things. But there needs to be a commitment and a conviction in our heart that the most important thing is the spiritual. Think about the environments that our children are in on a daily basis and ask yourself this question. Are those environments encouraging my child in a spiritual way? Are they increasing their faith? And for many, the vast majority of the environments are not. So the home desperately needs to be. And I'm not saying that home should feel like church 24/7, you know. Hey, where's your Bible? You know, whatever. I'm not saying it should be that way. It should be home and it should be enjoyable and it should be relaxing and it should be a haven and it should be all of that. I get it. I agree. That's what I want in our home as well. But it should just naturally be about the things of the Lord. It should just naturally be about what a great day in church today. What'd you guys learn today? Oh, that's great. You know, man, we got church tonight. Here we go. And it's going to be awesome. Man, Pastor mentioned you're going to go in that maybe 11, but he mentioned tonight he's preaching about how to pray for your children. 10 ideas of prayer for your children. Man, that's worth the effort to come. Amen. No doubt about it. I'm excited to come. I want to learn. And then having the things of the Lord in our home. And I just want to encourage you and I this morning that if God has gifted you to be a parent, or maybe God is preparing your relationship for that in the future, to recognize that it can be something that does galvanize and strengthen your marriage to a greater level if the marriage is built on the right stuff. And the right foundation, the biblical perspective, is that it's permanent. And it is my prayer for every married person in this room that in your heart it is already settled, we're in till death do us part. The exit is not an option. That's not something we're going to consider. Well, you just don't know what we're going through. And I may not, and I'm not demeaning it. But I just want to tell you something. Divorce is not the answer. I've got a good buddy that I went to Bible college with. I was talking with him on the phone this week. He lives out of state. He and his wife divorced. He's away from his 4 children. He said, Brother Will, I got to be honest with you. There's some days I wake up and wish I hadn't. My life is miserable. I wish I could go back and change some things, but I can't. And now I don't even know where to begin to put the pieces back together. And I'm so thankful we serve a God of many chances. And I have seen God put pieces back together that others said, this will never happen. But for those in this room, Let's not give him that opportunity. Let's not be a redemptive story. Let's just stick to the vow. Let's just stick to the commitment. Let's just strengthen what we already have. And if there's something in your relationship that's preventing it from being all that it should, then let's go to God and ask Him for His help. And then as God blesses us with children, let's be grateful for our children and recognize they are a gift to us from God. And how we train them and nurture them and admonish them should be as unto the Lord. And the purpose is that they have a relationship with God. So ask yourself this morning as we close, is your relationship with your children right now, presently, preparing them for a relationship with God that you believe is pleasing to the Lord? And if not, what adjustments do you need to make? Is there some behavior in their life that would not be pleasing to the Lord that you lovingly need to correct and adjust? Is there maybe a lack of the things of the Lord in your own life as a father or mother that you need to get back in there so that you can model for them what a real relationship with God is all about? Are there some things of the Lord that are missing from the fabric of your home that need to be put back with emphasis so that it's a training ground for young people to have the right kind of relationship with God? Listen, Satan hates your life and he hates mine. Satan hates your home and he hates mine. Satan hates our children. Satan would love for our children to be miserable for the rest of their life. But God loves them. And God doesn't want them just to have life. He wants to have them more abundant, an awesome life. Now, I'm not saying without trials. It's going to rain on the just and the unjust. Life's not going to be a bed of roses. But it doesn't mean it can't be a great life. But they've got to be in tune with God. And we've got to be in tune with God. And then we've got to cultivate that relationship in their hearts and give them an appetite for it and for the things of the Lord. And I pray, and we'll finish this next week for sure, but I pray that we will look at our homes and our relationships and say, God, would you help us to strengthen the things that we have? And I don't know, maybe there's a couple here this morning that came in and I'm glad you came, but in your hearts, if it were known, there's a little bit of uncertainty about where you're going. And I pray this morning you would leave here galvanized. We're staying together. That commitment is strong. I don't know how we're going to get through it. I don't know how we're going to get over it. I don't know how it's all going to work together, but we're going to stay together. And we're going to thank God for His gifts, His blessings, His goodness to us. And we're going to strive in everything we do to bring Him honor and glory. And may God strengthen our homes. And may our homes bring Him honor and glory. And may our children be the benefactor of those decisions and those efforts. Thank you for being here today. And I pray that we will strive to please the Lord in what we do in the four walls of our homes. Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for the privilege to come and to gather together this morning. Lord, I thank you for these couples and their attentiveness and attendance and faithfulness. And Lord, I pray that you would help all of us to examine our homes. Have we made that commitment one to another? Is it death, till death do us part in our hearts for sure? Do we know that children are your gift to us, and are we training them for relationship with you? And Lord, I pray that we would work diligently to strengthen our homes according to your word and your plan. Lord, I pray your blessings upon every family that is represented here. Thank you for every one of them being here. It's been a joy to be with them and to learn from your word together today. Then Lord, I pray to bring us back safely next week as we continue to look at how can parenting strengthen our home from the principles and precepts of the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you bless every home and every parent in here who is striving to do their dead level best according to your word, your will, and your way. Bless them, I pray, in Jesus' name.